Okay, good morning. Good to be here. Welcome. Greetings from Peabody, Massachusetts. And things are going well. One of our elders said, because we keep saying, should we look for a building? Because we're in a house, if you know the story. And he said, when we fill every chair, we'll look for a building. So we have 80 chairs in the chapel in the back of a house, and we filled every chair twice in the last month. So we're looking for a building. And keep that in prayer. That would be good. I just want to share a verse with you and a thought I had driving down here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 says, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." And I was thinking about needy people. You know, we all know people in our lives, and they're needy. Like, they walk in the room, and they have to be the center of attention. And if you're having a conversation with somebody, they somehow get in the middle of it and take over the conversation. And they talk to you and say, well, that's enough about me. What about you? What do you think about me? And you say, those people are very needy. They need to be, everything is about them. And I was driving down here, and I said, I think I'm needy. I think I'm a needy person. I said, I'm driving 420 miles to hear a message. And being spiritually needy is a good thing, as opposed to people in the world who are needy for attention. I have a need to be with the body this morning. And we all have the same need. It's not like so many people today in churches, and this is what we're seeing all over, is people aren't coming to church because it's a convenience. Oh, if I have time, I'll go. If the weather is good, I'll go. If it's raining, forget it. You know, if the boys aren't doing anything or the family's not having a cookout, then I'll make time to go. And it becomes more of a, you know, if I feel like it, I'll go to church. But really, what the scripture is saying is that we cannot say, I have no need of the body. I have no need for church, because we have a tremendous need. And I think what the problem is that we've stopped looking at meeting together and assembling together, as it says in Hebrews, because we don't look at it as a vital need. You know, I used to have a service business, and I would have to go all over the place to do jobs. And I quickly learned, because I have a need for food and I have a need for water, that I learned where all the restaurants were near these places I had to go. And so if anybody said to me, do you know where there's a good restaurant in Braintree? I say, yep, go down here, go on Washington Street, you do this, you can find this place, they have awesome food. Because we know we have a need for food and water every day, we make provisions in our life to make sure we know where it is. And the same is true about church. I need to develop, and Christians need to develop, this sense that I have a need to be there. It's a requirement. It's a necessary action for my life. It's not like if I feel like it, I'll go and things will, you know, that's okay. No, I have a need to be there, so I will be there. You know, I'm driving down again from Massachusetts, and I'm like, well, I could actually watch this online. And I gave myself the same sound I did in Poland. I went, huh, I could watch this online. But that's not the same thing. It's wonderful if you can't, and I'd love to be able to come here every week, but I have a church. And But when I can, I want to, because I have a need. I'm a needy Christian this morning. I'm a needy spiritual being. I need to see the love of the body. I need to hear from my pastor. I need to hear the word of God. I need to be built up. I love being built up, and I love to build people up. And sometimes you get this, the Satan lies to you and says, oh, don't be looking for praise from men. Yeah, I know that, but I need to be built up in the most holy faith. I need to rehearse who I am in Christ, and I need to see Christ in other people, and you see that in the body of Christ. And I can't say, I could not say, I'd be lying if I said I don't have a need for my foot if I was a hand. Of course I do. And it was a beautiful illustration when Paul looked at that and said, look at your body. Nobody's complaining about the other parts. They all work together. You all have a need for each other. And when you act in accordance, it's a blessing abounds, like in Psalm 133, where unity is. And because nobody's saying, well, I don't have a need for that person over there, but I like these people, so I'll talk to them. I won't talk to them. I have a need for every single portion. Say, so you don't even know me. I know, but I still have a need for your portion. You don't know me, but you have a need for my portion. We're needy Christians this morning. We need to be forgiven. We need to have grace. We need to know about mercy. We need to know doctrine. We need to know the word of God. We need to know the fellowship of the mystery. We need all of those things. So it's okay to say it in the spiritual realm. Say, yes, I am needy this morning. I'm a needy Christian. I have a need to be in the body of Christ and to experience the fullness of Jesus Christ, because that's where I experience it, in the body. And it is a tremendous blessing just to be here. Is it worth driving 400 miles? Absolutely. That testimony of the man was worth driving 400 miles to hear. The song that Annette just sang. I used to get to hear Annette all the time when we were in Wilmington. It's such a, I forgot, what a beautiful voice she has. And I have a need to experience that in my life. I am the person who got hit by the train in Poland, if you don't know, if you heard about it. You say, well, what are you going to Poland to get hit by a train for? Because I had a need to be there. I knew when I was here, when I was here last summer, God spoke to my heart and said, you're going to go to the European Convention. I want you to go. And from that point on, I said, I'm going. And people say, why? I said, I have a need to be there. You know, I can't figure out every aspect of it, but I needed to be there. To get hit by a train? I don't know. I don't know. But the word of God, when as soon as I walked in, the word of God was amazing. The messages were spot on for my life. And I knew as soon as I heard the first message, I knew I was supposed to be there for that. So be needy spiritually this morning and enjoy the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor. It's so good. That is so great. I'm laughing because I was in the Poland conference and I got a text message in the meeting from somebody in Massachusetts that Pastor had been, you know, in his car and he in a train or tram in the city collided with him, and you know, it's kind of hard to believe, you know. How does somebody in Massachusetts know what happened to him in Warsaw, right? But anyway, after the meeting, he comes staggering into the meeting, you know, like he'd just been in the hospital. And you know, it's one of those things you had to be there to really get it. It's just amazing. And just the spirit of this man and attitude and heart is just so refreshing. And that portion is, wow. That is really what I have in mind also. I want to share with you a few things. First of all, the picture of the lions. Turn to Psalm 34 and then put up the picture of the lions for me. This is a sub point. I know some of you would like to do some preaching, so I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. Yeah, you are going to give a message. Okay, Psalm 34, verse 10. Okay. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Okay, do you have that? There we go. Maybe we can't do both at the same time. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Lions are powerful animals. Lions can get it done. Lions hunt. Lions are strong. They're very smart. They're agile. They're clever. They can catch their food. No problem. But apparently, not always. So that's our little lesson. Verse 10. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Okay, let's put the picture up again. There we go. Okay. Do they ever lack? Do they ever lack according to the scripture? Yes, they do. But look how massive, how strong, how smart, how clever. But do they ever lack? Yes, they do. And like people that are strong and clever and capable and smart and powerful people, do they lack? Yes, they do. Do young lions lack? And so do people. People lack also. But there's a category. There's a category. Look at the next part of the verse. It says, but they that seek the Lord. Whew, man. Whoa. But they that seek the Lord will not lack. But those powerful animals and also powerful people and people that are clever and maybe you could say good and agile and crafty and powerful people, they lack. But if you seek God, if you seek God, you will not lack. Wow. Isn't that good? All right, so I told you I'd give you an opportunity to preach a message. So you got 3 minutes. Turn to your neighbor and give him the best message you can ever come up with. Okay. This past week, we were in China with a Greater Grace conference. We were in one of the days, we were in a room about this size, a very large room, with a few hundred Chinese believers. And you know, wherever you go in the world, it's like what Pastor Lewis said. By the way, and that song was written by Woot, right? Woot wrote that song. That was a good song. And you sang it perfectly. Really, better than he. He could. No, it wasn't. No, I was touched by that. Her song was so good, and you're sitting there, and you wrote it, and it's just, you know, God using you. Wherever you go in the world, you see in whatever churches, I don't know other churches that well, but I know in ours, in our Greater Grace churches, the mystery of the fellowship, being in China and these people that seek the Lord and have sought the Lord and found him, and they are not lacking. You find love, And, it, you know, China is a different country from ours. And the language is so strange to my ears and so on. And the people are, the people that we were with were just remarkable. The fruit of God's investment in them through his people. And them being so studious, having their notebooks out and asking questions and being stirred in their faith. And you just say, wow, you know, wow, just love, life, unity, understanding, humility, encouragement. And once you find that life, when you are hungry and you seek God, and God fills you with the Holy Spirit, and when you are in trouble in your soul, which I have been, as we all have been, but waiting on the Lord and in our hearts seeking him, and we will ultimately find him. That's Isaiah 55, verse 6. Jeremiah 29:13, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. We saw students in China who have studied for 4 years. Pastor Dennis White was one of the teachers. We saw the fruit of the investment. We see the cross of Christ, as we all must learn what that is, the cross, and take up the cross and not live in our flesh, our rights, our opinions, our envies and jealousies and deceitfulness and our pride. But instead, we seek the Lord, and he answers us. We learn humility. We learn to put off the old man and put on the new man. We learn to surrender my rights to myself and give all of who I am before God and trust him. All my rights to myself and my life, my preferences and my desires. And I yield and I don't lack. I don't lack. You get bigger. We get bigger in our worldview, bigger in our way of thinking, bigger in God. We become like Christ in our mind. We have found it. I want to speak about it in a few minutes here. But listen, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I think there are times when I seek him and then I stop or I turn away. Yeah, but I have done it. Perhaps we all have. We have the strength of a lion, and you know, and we do it. And God is on the back burner. But no, we have found something better. Give him our best. Give him our strength. Give him our cleverness, our ways, our deceitfulness of our hearts. Do not trust in our flesh, but trust in the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. There's this picture of a butler, you know, a British English butler, right? You know the idea. He's there, the family is eating at a big table, and he's standing there. And he's just standing there doing nothing. He is doing nothing, but he is doing something. What is he doing? He's waiting. He's available. He is available. He's doing nothing right now. He's just waiting there. As all his attention is on what's going on. It doesn't look like he's doing anything, but he is doing something. This is his job. Just to be there, available, waiting on God, is something like this. It doesn't look like I am doing anything, but I am seeking the Lord. I am waiting upon God. And when the head of the household just gives a signal, I am there, available. What is it that you need? And so on. This is an attitude that we have because our life is different. Our ways are different from the lions of this world and the kings and the powerful people. Ours is like different. We may be in a position like that, but behind our life needs to be this kind of trust in the invisible world, the world of God. While we look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen, where the things that are seen are temporal, but what is not seen is eternal. And what we saw in China was this, and we understand that this is happening all across the country, that there are people that, and we saw it in the Soviet Union in the communist days, that you can only live so long with atheistic materialism before your heart starts to cry out, is there something more? Is there something more? And a preacher comes and preaches about the invisible God, the almighty God, the satisfying God. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. That he upholds us when we stumble and fall. And when we fail, he is there with mercy and grace to love us, restore my soul and the paths of righteousness and the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And you prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. And I will dwell in the house. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But as we heard, that word follow is like aggressively after you. Like you go this way, God's taking care of you. And mercy, goodness and mercy are aggressively following you. All the days of your life are being followed by goodness and mercy, aggressively following you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Good words. Now, go with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 4. And this is the portion on body life that I wanted to share with you. One verse with four parts. 1 Peter chapter 4. Pastor Dennis White preached a great message Sunday night. I listened to it last night. It was so good. Thank you so much. Anointed men of God, young men too. Men of God that are growing in the faith. Older men too. Look over here. Old men, okay, so, and at Federal Hill, young men, and here, young men. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So I want to draw a picture of a man, and he has a gift in him. I'll draw it like this way. He has a gift. We also have charity, or agape love. And agape love is God's love, and it is to be fervent. Fervent love, like in our hearts, fervent. Sometimes bubbling up, or passionately being able to express itself, not in a reservation, reserved, self-conscious sense. You know how we may be in a garden party and we're kind of there being polite and following the protocols and are careful not to say the wrong thing, and we're self-conscious of ourselves and of people and the social order and so on. You know how that is? You know how that is, right? You're like, yuck. Okay. All right. So, no, that's part of life. That's fine. You know, that's fine. That's fine. But I love it when we are not so self-conscious. I love it when we are free and in our hearts. We don't have to be careful because we are God-conscious. I love it when we have found the filling of the Spirit to be a way of life for us. And that love, fervent charity. And this is body life. When people are in the church and in the church there is sin, but here's another man, and let's say there's something wrong with him, like there is with all of us. There's something wrong with him. Maybe it is obvious, maybe it isn't. Maybe you'd be more careful in regards to that man somehow in your presence. But it says, like, love covers a multitude of sins. It's regarding people. Love covers a multitude of sins. It's an awesome thought. It covers a lot of sin in your life. Love does, and it covers a lot of sins in other people. All right, verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Meaning, it's so, so important. He mentions prayer in verse 7. Now he talks about fervent love. Verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hospitality without being careful about the hospitality, without grudging. You know how you could loan something to somebody, and then when you go back home, you're kind of murmuring, complaining, grumbling about how you loan something to them. You wonder if you'll ever get it back. And you're talking to your wife, or you're, you know, it's like, yeah, I borrowed it again, or something like that. Hospitality, that is like in the body, in the spirit, where we have sought God in our heart, and we have found God also in our heart, in our life, and we have also found God amongst ourselves. And we found God in China, in the body of Christ, which is hard to explain except for the fact that this is God's will, that Christ should be the head of the body, and we are members of the body, and we have the life of Christ in us. And these verses are about these relationships that happen because of God in us. Look at verse 10. This is the verse. When, as every man has received the gift. So let's give the bad guy a gift. He's got a gift. He's a believer. He's growing. He's not perfect. Got issues. But he has a gift. What does it say about it? Verse 10. Even as he has received the gift, even so minister the gift. Minister the gift. So let's draw an arrow this way. The gift is ministered. Now, I don't want to be long, just a few more minutes, but I you get the point here. The gift is not my old OSN, old sin nature. It is not pride. There's pride. Pride with people. Pride with attitude, pride with regards to myself, pride. I don't minister pride. Doesn't work. It's not a ministry. I might be proud, and I'm in the presence of people, and as I'm proud, it's not ministering to people. It may be there, but it's not ministering. It's not helping anybody. Actually, sometimes it makes other people proud. If I am proud, then I may make other people proud. I might stimulate people to be proud by the fact that I am. It is not, the gift is not pride. It is not envy. It is not jealousy. It is not my opinions that are rooted in my flesh or my culture. It is something deeper. And that's what we loved about being in Poland, all these different countries and cultures and people, and in China. And it is a ministry. In verse 10, it says, even so minister the same one to another. Gift of helps. We could say fruit. Fruit of love, joy, peace, encouragement, gift of teaching or preaching, gift of helps, did I say that? Gifts of compassion and mercy, gifts of faith that are being ministered. Even so, minister the same one to another. So we have the gift, we have the word minister. The next word is stewards, as good stewards. Now, steward is somebody taking in commission to take care of, you know, a steward of your car. Maybe that's a good example. My car, I'm a steward of it. I want to change the oil if I can. Get that done, maintain the car, wash the car, clean the car, park the car. Now I get a ticket with the car, parking ticket, other things that regard the car. I want to be a steward of it or maintain it. I'm given the car and I'm a steward of the car. In the same way, we have a ministry that God has given you. And this is so important, because I think it keeps us out of the world. When I find my gift and my ministry of the gift and what it does, I find that it edifies me and encourages me personally. I find myself edified by the use of the gift that God has given me. And this is why we like body life. Body life is when our gifts are being used, and it's not the flesh, which really is a big problem in church life. The flesh. You're going to have a group of people that get together, and it is like that garden party that has these protocols, and, you know, somebody got offended by you because of something. And somebody else doesn't want to talk to you, or somebody sits in that group and they sit in this group and you're there. And this church life is not when is it over? You know, when's it over? I can go home. You know, I can get out of here. When is it over? That's a horrible way of living, and not God. It's just not body life. It's just the people. This is not edifying. It doesn't work. It's not drawing me. And when, again, what I saw in China was the people were there all day. That one day we had a number of days together. Pastor Gary went with me, and we had a beautiful time in ministry. And he has a beautiful ministry to people. And just one day, the Holy Spirit was in the room, and we just were there the whole day. People are just sitting and talking, and they ordered food. The catered food came in and just ate and just stayed there the whole time. And I understood why. Because when we seek God, we'll not lack. When we find God and we wait upon him, you know, like this in our attitude, he shows up. He does his work. The fourth word here in this verse 10, as good stewards of the manifold, this is manifold, meaning many-sided, poikilos, manifold, grace of God. Do you know that people want to be given grace and they don't know what it is? They want to be loved. They don't know what it is exactly. They're afraid of offending. They're afraid of making mistakes, and they guard themselves as long as they can, and when it's over, they're gone. If I'm proud, I might be very proud of the fact that I am in charge. Yeah, I'm proud of the fact that people notice me and people talk about me. All of those human things that happen in life, in the social circles of people. But in this life, in this fellowship, this meaning in Christ, through the centuries, in Christ's fellowship, you just say, this isn't about people. This is about God's presence in the midst of his people. This is called the body of Christ. And in Psalm 133, let's repeat these words. Gift, you've got. Minister the gift. Minister the gift. Meaning you need to be around in order to do it. You got to minister your gift. You are there with the heart and the mind and the spirit of God, and you are able to love, you are able to be there, you're able to wait on God. There's a group of people, and you know, you're not at the center, you're waiting on God. God is at the center, and you're waiting on God, and you're available. It's a beautiful thing. Then you are a steward of it. Don't let it rust or rot in the back shed. You are a steward of the gift. Don't lose it under the bed. Don't pack it away in the attic and forget about it. Use your gift. Be a steward of it, of the manifold, many-sided grace of God. It's so fantastic when lost people find grace. It's so amazing when lost people hear good words from you and I about Jesus. And that Jesus is good to you, that Jesus cares about you, that Jesus has a plan for you, that Jesus loves you. Be a steward of the gift and the manifold grace of God. Get occupied with grace, and we lose our self-consciousness. We don't get in a huddle of our own friends to defend ourselves, to esteem ourselves better than others. We don't get in a huddle and just say, you know, we are that particular group that is better than another group. No, when you enter a room, you are away saying, God, how do you want to lead me? This is the body of Christ. What are you saying to people? What are you doing? I'm listening and hearing and responding to you in my heart, and I love this place. I love these people. I love what you are doing. And if I get a little restless in my heart, I can settle down and wait upon God, and God can lead me in an adventure of faith and using my gifts on a university campus. use my gifts in the next town. Get in the car and go to the pizza shop in the next town and hang out and look for teenagers that need a lot of help. For charity covers a multitude of sins, and exceedingly great grace has been given. And we are swimming in the grace, and God is doing it. It is exciting. Okay. Psalm 133, closing this part. And I'll just say this one. You know the psalm, I think. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. In verse 1. It's just so good when you have real friends in God. And they help you, and they cover you, and they pray for you, and they support you, and they encourage you. I don't want to lose any of my friends in God, and we will not lose each other, because when we seek God, we will not lack any good thing. When we seek God, we will find God in our midst. We will find God alone in our prayer. We will find God in our study as we learn the Word. We will find God in our service out in the community. We will find God. And look at what it says, is the dew upon Mount Hermon. I just write that word. Soft water coming down out of the atmosphere. Soft water, like just landing gently. They say, have you ever noticed sheep? They live in arid climates, you know. Where do they get the water? And I have read they get the water from the morning dew. That's where they get their water from. I thought, wow, that's not a lot of water. But sheep live on that. The dew that comes on Mount Hermon, the dew that is soft. I like softness. I like gentleness. I like kindness. I like the dew that comes down. It takes years, maybe, for you to grow in your faith, but be very patient. You are growing in your faith, and the doctrine is like dew that comes down on the grass, and it's actually watering you. It will sustain you during the week. And if you can come out Wednesday night, you got to make it come out Wednesday night and have fellowship for another portion of the dew that comes down like doctrine falling out of heaven comes down upon us and waters us. We need a spiritual life. Read the books. Say the prayers. Trust in God. Be quiet. Be real low-key. Be a real trusting, real down-to-earth kind of people and say, I know that the lions, they are strong and powerful, but I am greater than a lion because they lack and I don't. That's amazing. And then the last thing in that says, there God has commanded a blessing. When you have body life, when there is body life, God has commanded a blessing. How could we be in China, this little church, Greater Grace? How could we be in China? How could we have 250 different churches in Africa? And it's like exploding in Africa with people coming to Christ and churches being planted. How could a little church, a little group of people up in Maine years ago, a little church, how if God is with you and he has commanded a blessing, if he has commanded a blessing, then you go to a city and there's a man of God sitting at a table. And you have no idea who he is or what's going on, but God is with that man. And he's the man that God wants to be with us. And God baptizes us into the body of Christ, and that man becomes our brother. And we can go through hundreds and hundreds of names of men and women of God who we just say, where did they come from? Where did they come from? God did it. God commanded a blessing. You are in it and part of it. We're all part of it. We're all part of it. Hallelujah. And God did it. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we Thank you for what we saw in China, what Pastor Shibeli saw in Africa. We are humbled to see any part of it at any time in our lives. What we see here in Baltimore, right in this room today, we are humbled to be part of what you're doing through your Son, who you raised from the dead for us. And anyone who believes in him, and there's a great hunger in these countries and in our country. There is so much artificial, there's so much problems and trouble, there's so much pain and loneliness, there's so much emptiness in the human heart, and there's so much strength and wealth and independence and pride. We lie down in sorrow and wonder, is there another message? Is there another way? And we say, Christ is the way. Christ is the one you look for. Christ is the one you need. Christ is the answer. Christ washes your sin away. Christ calls you by name. God, Christ gives you eternal life. Please come to him today by faith and say, Jesus, I trust in you. Please say that prayer. Raise your hand if you're saying the prayer this morning here in the auditorium. Say yes to Jesus. And then we want to welcome you into family and say, God bless you. Anyone? The ushers will give you a booklet. God bless you. Believe in him with all your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.